Yes, the significance of Bris Milah starts with the comment by Rabbi Talishkin in Jewish Wisdom, in which he quotes his friend Rabbi Jack Reamer. I don't know if he's still at Miami, but formerly, you know, certainly at the time of the writing, he was at Miami. He said, turning the sacred ceremony through which a male Jewish baby enters a covenant into a source for ribald humor demonstrates how obscenity can desecrate the sense of the sacred. For, if entering the covenant is turned into a source of jokes, then the covenant itself eventually will be treated as a joke. Having said that, I will tell you the only Bris joke which I think is actually clean and not necessarily funny, but at least clever. And that is, when people have asked me what I do with the foreskin after a Bris. So the answer is that we bury it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you bury it in the ground.
Yeah.
But the sometimes it's placed in a cup pre-burial, meaning at the Bris, it's placed in the cup. But the answer is we bury it. But the joke is that the tree that grows there, you're not allowed to eat from its fruit for the first 3 years. No, it's a joke, because the fruit that grows for the first 3 years is called Orla, which is the same name as the foreskin. So it may or may not be funny, but it's clever, right? Okay? It's a Lundish joke, exactly.
You bury the foreskin?
Yeah, it's buried.
Got it.
Okay?
Rabbi
Talishkin.
Rabbi, you want some?
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to do a real.
So our question tonight is, what is the significance of Bris Milah? People joke about it, but if joking about it is a bad thing, well, what's the reason why it's a bad thing? And I think it's because people don't pay attention to what the significance of it is. I'm raising it this week because the Parsha, of course, discusses Bris Milah. And so tonight we're actually veering a little bit from our usual Chumash base, in which we're not even going to be looking at the Chumash. Before we start looking at the sources, I just want to, this book which I have, which is called Osar HaBris, there's a section which is called The Reasons for the Mitzvah of Milah and the greatness of its value. And while I'm not going to read through the sources that are here, I'll just read you the subtitles. It's a covenant between God and the Jewish people. It is a permanent mark. It's a separation from the nations. It helps a person achieve completion. The Orla is considered abominable in some way. The ceremony itself is akin to a sacrifice. Obviously the baby isn't sacrificed, but it's similar. The Sanat's lap is considered compared to a Mizbeach. So it's like a sacrifice taking place. The circumcision in and of itself is a method to achieve an element of kedusha, holiness, separation, and a guard against arayos, sexual morality. It's a form of faith. It's parallel to all of the mitzvos. God's presence dwells because of the merit of Bris Milah. It helps a person achieve a kiddush Hashem. It's a seal of God's name, Shakai. Because in a person, if a person has on your on your hand, you have in the veins, you have a shin over here. Yeah. On the zeroa, on your arm, you have a gadalid, and on the Bris Milah, no, I'm not going to demonstrate. You have a yud. Okay, that is the fulfillment of God's name, and there are a few others. We'll see some of these. We'll see a lot of these in the sources which we're going to see. Yes, sir.
Through this year, are you going to? Could you let us know which parts of the Bris ceremony are makir to the ceremony, which are?
Let's have questions afterwards.
Okay.
At the end. Okay. I just want to stay focused. We have another 40 minutes or so. So I want to stay focused on what we're going to be doing. Okay. So we'll start with the story of Turnus Rufus and Rabbi Akiva. If you're not familiar with it, it's in the first source here, and that is the Alka Shimoni. This also appears in the Medrash Tanchuma. And by the way, just because of the size of these sources, you may or may not have noticed, but these are not full translations; they're pretty much summaries. So sorry about that, but I needed to fit it into one page. Shal Turnus Rufus Arashas Rabbi Akiva. Turnus Rufus, who was one of the Roman generals or some leader, asked Rabbi Akiva. Originally he said to him, what's more important, and I cut this out of the source, but he says to him, what's better, what God creates or what man creates? Rabbi Akiva sends the trap and he says, what man creates. And the guy says, okay, how could you not say that what God creates is more important? So Rabbi Akiva, he says, Lama atem malim. He asks Rabbi Akiva, all right, fine, why do you circumcise yourselves? Amarle, he says to him, Af ani yodea sha'al divarim elu ata shoel. He says, I knew that you were going to be asking about this, and that's why I said, L'kach ikdamti v'yamarti l'cha shemaseh basav adam na'im. And that's why I precluded your question by saying that the works of man are better than that of God. Hevilo shibolim ugulus kos. He brought him grains, and he says, "Elu maaseh Kadosh Baruch Hu." These are the works of God. Ve'elu maaseh basar v'dam, meaning he brought him, I'm sorry, grains and loaves of bread, and he says, "These are the works of God," meaning the grains, the raw grains, and these are the works of man, meaning the bread, which is formed out of fashioning the flour and harvesting it and baking it, etc. And he says, which one's better? What can you do with the grain? What can you do with a loaf of bread? Amar lo hoil v'hu chafetz b'mila. He says, Turnus Rufus says, if God really wants bris mila, then lama eino mahul mimei imo. Why aren't you born that way? If God wants it that way, then you should be born that way. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva says, L'fishalo nasana kodesh baruch hu l'Yisrael samitzvos ela l'tzarek b'hem. Because God gave the Jewish people commandments in order to inspire them, to cause them to do something in order to achieve what their goal. V'kach amar David. And this is what David said, Kol amiras Hashem tzrufa. Everything that God said is to inspire us. V'omer amiras Hashem tzrufa, magenu l'chol l'chosim bo. The point of it all, this one, the point of it all is to get people to do things for God, and therefore, through what they're doing, fulfill themselves and bring themselves to a higher level. The reason for the mitzvah, the reason why we do it as opposed to, because God wants that mark on us, because if we wanted the mark, he could just have us be born that way, is because God, we are supposed to take from it how it's supposed to move us. And how it's supposed to move us, or what we're supposed to take from it, is the rest of this class. So we'll start with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, in describing this mitzvah, it's the second mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch, because it's a parashas Lech Lecha. He says, "Misharshei mitzvah zo, lefi sherotza Hashem yizbarach lekboa ba'am asher evdil leos nikra al shemo, os kavua begufam." What God wanted to do was to set in the nation that he set aside to be called in his name, in other words, Yisrael, actually, this one I did translate it. A permanent mark on the body. To separate them from the other nations. In the shape, in the form rather, of their body. Just as their nefesh, just as their one form of the soul. There's a nefesh and there's a neshama. Those are two different things for a different discussion. The one form of their soul is separate from. Those who are not part of this nation, Hashem otzaam uva'am einenu shoveh, the way they go out, the way they come in, the things which they do is not the same. V'nikpa ha'evdel begulas hazahav, and the difference is sealed, so to speak, or permanent in the golden circle. Okay, that's a euphemism. Yeah, you got it. Very good. Okay, begulas hazahav l'fisha hu siba l'kiyum amin, because that is the source for the survival of the species. Aside from the fact that this is also a completion of the form of the body, as has been said, and God wants the chosen people, the chosen nation, to complete their his mold, and he wanted that completion to be done by man. And therefore, he didn't create him complete from the womb. Just as he's going to complete the physical form of his body through his own hand, right, through the act of bris milah, so too can a person complete the form of his nefesh, of his soul, of his spirituality through his deeds. Nothing set in stone. A person could be a low life, or a person can be the greatest, most pious person, most devout person, depending on how a person works on oneself. But the point is that it's in our hands. Nothing's predetermined. A person has the capability to make of oneself what one wants to, what one strives to. And it's dependent upon a person's deeds. And we learn that from bris milah. Just as we could do it in the physical body, we could do it for the spiritual self. So now, there's an obvious question here.
Why was Moshe Rabbeinu? What is the big deal that Moshe Rabbeinu was born with Bris Mila? What is the
okay, so Medrash Man is bringing
a specific point to say that.
Right. So it also says that about Yaakov. It also says about Yosef. It also says about Noach for whatever reason. Yeah. And it also says, I mean, there are a bunch of people who are born Mahul. Okay. So that's a question I don't want to go into. That's Medrash Man. I'm asking contemporary terms. What did this just say? It said that Am HaNivchar is Muvdal, is separated based on the fact that they have this mark. So we live in America, we're Muslims, yeah.
Not people do it.
Everybody's circumcised. Except for, European, in Europe it's not such a big thing, but in this country, the percentages of it's getting smaller. People are becoming anti-circumcision, but still, the percentages of people in this country who are circumcised are staggering.
But they ask you at the hospital bed, every boy that's born.
They ask you. What do you,
common practice.
It is a pretty common practice, exactly.
So what do you say? 95%, now it's down to
right. Now it's down to what? 60s, 70s, okay, whatever, but still. Okay. But nonetheless, so how do you answer that? So we're going to,
just looking at it from a physical standpoint, it's just a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, he mentions the completion of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
There's no completion of the soul if it's someone who's not Jewish.
Right.
That shows the whole difference, because then it's not part of the covenant.
Exactly.
It's not the
verse. A circumcision alone does not a bris mila make, as a poet might say, or a poetic type might say. Okay, so we come to this next source. Now this source is a fantastic source, and the reason it's fantastic is because it's used very often by people who have polemics against circumcision. They say, look what Maimonides says about circumcision. Of course, Maimonides is talking about bris mila. He's not talking about circumcision, but because they view Maimonides as a tremendous Jewish source. I don't care, he was a physician. They say, you see what Maimonides says? Therefore, this is why Jewish people should rise up and fight against bris mila, because look at what he says. But the thing is, being the intellectually dishonest people that they are, they only quote the first half of the Rambam, and they forget about the significance. Now, I'm not going to defend what the Rambam says. I have no need to, and as far as I'm concerned, bris mila doesn't need a defense. Okay, so I'm not going to defend what he says. But I'm not even going to present it in such a way to support their argument. I'll just say this is what they argue, saying, even though you'll all be able to figure it out for yourselves. But I want to focus more so on the part where everybody stops in their quotation of the Guide to the Perplexed, and they say, oh, you see? Okay, Rambam says, V'chein amila etzli echad mitanim lima'et hamishgal ulhachalish zeh ha'ever. The Rambam says one of the reasons for circumcision is to minimize the activity one does with the aver, with the organ, and to weaken its sensitivity, kafi ha'yicholas, ad shiyama'et b'maisa hazeh, so that a person will minimize, and by minimize doesn't mean down to nothing, but minimize means don't make it a crazy part of your day, in everyday activity. Ukvar, of course, I'm talking about sex, of course. Ukvar chashvu shezos hamila hi hashlamas chisaron yitzira. And some people thought that the circumcision is a completion of something which is missing from creation. Umatza kol cholek makom lachalok v'lomar, and anybody who argued found a way to argue, and they said, Echiyu advarim hatibim chaserim ad sheyitzarchu lahashlamam mechutz. They said, how could it be that something which is natural is missing something that needs to be completed from the outside? Right? How could a person be not born perfect? Imashe is bayer mitoelas haor hahu le'ever hahi. With what we explain, that the reason for that skin is for this organ, meaning for the benefit of this organ. V'lo nitna mitzvah zo lahashlam chisaron ebriya. Rambam says this mitzvah, in other words, he's disagreeing with what we've said up until now. He says this mitzvah was not given to complete what has been missing. Rak lahashlim chisar, meaning what's been missing from creation, meaning from the natural state. Rak lahashlim chisaron amidos. The mitzvah is rather there to complete a person's lack in one's deeds. And what that means, and he goes on to explain, v'hanezek ahu agufani amagil eivrahu, and the damage, so to speak, the physical damage which is done to this organ, hu amichuvan, its intent is asher lo yifsed bo davar min apu'ulot shebahem amidas ha'ish, that it will not lose from its functionality, which makes a man a man. In other words, it's not castration. V'lo tevatel ba'avura ha'olada, it's not meant to cause sterilization of the male anatomy. Aval techsaru atava yisera ala tzorech, but a person's desire will be minimized somewhat. Ve'yos hamila machleshes koach hakoshi, and because circumcision weakens one's erection, upa amim shetechser hanaan, sometimes one's benefit will be lessened. Hu davar she'ein safek bo, this is something which is, there's no doubt about it. Ki ha'ever kishe yishafek damo v'yoser mechseyu mitchilas b'yoser yichalesh b'li safek, because when some of its blood is drawn from the organ and it loses its cover, which came from the way it was created, right? The foreskin is a cover for the tip of the penis. Yichalesh b'li safek, it will certainly be weakened. And the rabbi said that a woman who has sex with somebody who is uncircumcised, it's very difficult for her to separate from him, perhaps because of the additional pleasure which comes from it.
Which is a little difficult because we're talking about the pleasure of the male, and that's a reference to the pleasure of the female.
Yeah.
So it's strange that the Rambam, not to throw a wrench in the Rambam, but
no, it's not to throw a wrench in the Rambam. But in other words, the people who look at the Rambam and they say, "What's the?" No, no.
That's an aside. Just
right, it is an aside.
It should be something showing that's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying in the first case. But what he's saying is that you want to talk about percentage points. The percentage points, A, are insignificant, and B, they don't really matter, because the fact of the matter, the only thing that it's doing is it's saying that a person won't be. I think maybe my interpretation is wrong, but that a person won't be drawn to the bedroom as much because of the, you know, whatever minimization, so to speak, that has taken place here. Zeo hachazak b'tamei amila etzli. This is the main reason to me for the reason for Bismillah. Okay? Now, all the people who quote this say, you see what the Rambam says? And that's where they stop.
He says it's a main reason?
No. He says it's a strong reason.
He says one of the reasons is how you said first.
Yeah, okay. And then at the end of words, he says it's a strong reason. But he's going to say in the next line.
I'm not. People that quote.
Yes. Everybody who quotes him takes it out of context and stops there, and that's why I'm saying you got to see the whole thing. Who was the first one to do this? Avram, asher noydam yir aschetu, ma shezechru achachamim, that it became known from the fear of sin what the rabbi said about him. But amru hinena yedati ki shayif asmarat. When Avram said, "Now I know that you are a beautiful woman," when he said to his wife that phrase. And I don't think I put it in here, but I saw one midrash which suggests that until Avram was circumcised, he never consummated his marriage with Sarai. Okay? Now this is, of course, a classic type of midrash in which it ascribes certain types of behaviors to the avos, which may or may not be true. I can't verify. There's no way to verify them. But the idea that they're saying is that Sarai was so on such a level that she didn't want to have relations with an uncircumcised man. So until that point, they never consummated the marriage. After he has the bris, and God calls him Shalem, God tells him to become Tamim, only then can he actually have relations with Sarai.
At what age? At
99.
Yeah.
And then Yitzchak can be born.
That's why they didn't have a child?
That is that Midrash's argument. Okay? I'm not saying that's shot. I'm not saying that that's necessarily true.
It's not bad when you mess
with the concept of increase your number of years, you stay married. You don't have children, you're supposed to get divorced and marry someone else. You have that concept with Yitzchak and Rivka? With the things follow?
Different discussion. Don't get me started.
It fits in.
Yeah, except that they were married for 20 years, and we know that Avram and Sarai were married by the time he was 75, and this is at least 24 years later.
I'm saying.
Oh, your point is if they never consummated, then it didn't start. Got it. Okay.
Start.
Okay. Very nice. Okay, here it is, everybody. You want to see the real reason according to the Rambam? V'yesh b'mila. So now I'm about halfway through at that period. It's in the middle of the line. V'yesh b'mila od inyan acher tzarich me'od. Very important to know. This is another thing about mila. V'hu shiyeh le'anshei zos ha'emunah. And it's for the people of this faith, kulam. Ritzoni lomar ma'aminei yichud Hashem. And I'm referring to those who believe in the oneness of God. Os echad gashmi sheyikabzeim. One singular physical mark, sign, which will gather them together. Below you call me, she'eino mehem lomar, shehu mehem, v'hu nachri. So that nobody who is not one of them can say that he is one of them when he's really a Gentile. Ki pa'amim, of course, Rambam was living in a time when nobody was really circumcised themselves unless they were Jewish, but nonetheless. Ki pa'amim, yaseh adam kein. What does that mean? Because there are times when a person will do it. What do you mean will do it? Maybe a person will circumcise himself. For some ulterior motive, or because he wants to feel connected to these religious people. But this act, in other words, the circumcision, a person is only doing it to himself and to his children out of complete faith. He ain't ze sheret b'shuk. It's not like a branding something in your thigh or in your arm. But this is something which is very difficult to do. Right? You ask some people, would you mind if I made a brand in your arm? Sure, tattoo me. People do it all the time. Would you mind if I chopped off half of your? Not half. I'm just making a euphemism. You understand? You know, and people go, you know, what's the natural response?
Yeah.
You know, they start protecting. Don't even talk about it.
He
says, you also know the great love and support which comes from people who all bear the same sign, and that is the mark of the covenant. And the circumcision is the mark of the covenant that Avram forged with God, Avram Avinu, al amunas yichud Hashem, which is on the belief of the oneness of God. Anybody who's being circumcised in this context is entering this covenant of Avraham to believe in the oneness of God. Lios lecha elohim ulzarecha acharecha, as God promised to be to you, to a God, and to your children afterwards. V'zeh gam kein inyan chazak karishon v'tam amila, and this is also a very strong reason, like the first one, and the reasons for bris. V'efshar shu yoter chazak min harishon. You see that? And it's possible that this one is even stronger than the original. Steve, you hear that? He says this is, and that's why those guys who quoted are intellectually dishonest, because they either didn't read the whole thing, or if they did, they left this part out. And this completeness with the Torah and its fulfillment cannot happen except through the circumcision. And there are three wise things which are learned from it. Harishona. The fact that it's done when a person is very small. The first one is that ilu hunach hakatan ad sheyigdal, if a child would have it left over until he gets older, efshar shelo hayoseh. The reason why one of the reasons why we do it when a kid's a baby is so that it can just be taken care of, because when he's older, there's a good chance that he won't want to do it. And I'll give you examples. I'll give you examples of kids who were actually circumcised as babies, comes to their bar mitzvah, and they come to the rabbi, we'd like to do the bar mitzvah here. Oh yes, okay, are you Jewish? Yeah, we were Jewish. Oh, is your child circumcised? Yes. Who circumcised him? Oh, such and such person, such and such doctor. Oh, you know, your child needs a tefas dam bris. Your child needs to have a ceremonial pinprick, which in a relative scale is nothing. Okay, I've been called a few times. A friend of mine who's a rabbi, and I told him, "Yeah, I think the kid needs a tefas dam bris." He calls me back. He says, "No, we're going to assume that the guy who did it actually did it for the sake of bris." And fine, I said, "That's very nice." Why? He says, "The kid chickened out." I said, "We're not circumcising him. It's nothing." He says, "No, the kid chickened out. 13 years old, chickens out."
Is there a significance to 8th day? You said it's
to do a yom.
Well, the Torah says 8 day, but that's. I mean, some of them say some of the midrashim and some of these sources. I'm not sure if I included in here. Yeah, Me'alkeva. That's one interpretation. Another one is that, you know, an animal. It also says Shivas Yamim Tiyeh Imimo Umiyom Hashmini V'Hala Yeretzeh L'Korban Yishel Hashem. That for 7 days an animal is supposed to be with its mother, and from the 8th day and on, if, you know, if you're supposed to have a calf as the korban, then it can be brought as a korban only after the 8th day. And so another midrash or in midrashic interpretation I saw is that for 7 days the baby is not considered to be completely viable. In other words, we assume there's still that chance that, you know, the worst. Okay, not to scare anybody, but there's still that chance. But on the 8th day, the baby completes his strength, so to speak, so that he's ready for a bris.
Is there significance on how much you take off? How much you cut off? Or do you only cut off a little bit?
No, I mean, that's in the halachos of Mila. That has to do with...
Well, let's say you only took off a little bit, then when the kid gets older...
Let's ask for more.
It realizes...
What needs to happen is that the corona, the complete glands, the complete corona needs to be exposed.
Yeah, my question is, what happens if they didn't do that?
Then perhaps a touch-up would need to be done.
Okay.
You haven't done a touch-up?
No, I don't do those surgeries. Okay. The hashenis, the second reason, shelo yichav b'keev hagadol l'rachos oro v'choleshes dimyono, that he shouldn't feel the hurt. Okay, what does an 8-day old feel? An 8-day old,
is it true? That was the other question.
No. So an 8-day old feels pain, but it's minimal in comparison to what an adult. I'll tell you that an 8-day old, yes, he has a bris. Another joke which I have is that an 8-day old, after he has a bris, there's a chance he may not walk for a year. But that has obviously has nothing to do with the bris. That's another cute joke. But there was a guy I met who was a Russian. I did his son's bris. And he says to me, I came over from Russia. What did we know? Obviously, we weren't circumcised. I circumcised when I was 20 years old. It was the most painful thing I can ever describe to you in my life. I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. Okay? So now I can't imagine. I have no idea. But I'm telling you that you cannot compare the pain that a baby feels, because a baby would be crying if you were in pain. But once the baby's wrapped up, the baby's usually not crying. Well, an adult might not be crying, but he's crying inside. You know, it's very...
You give him a lot of wine, a baby.
Okay. Anyway, so that was number two.
But the baby's body grows faster, so it'll heal faster.
Yeah, I know, it heals very quickly with the baby.
But the baby can take more pain than an adult.
Ki ha-gadol yifchad yirad min anyan shidmaya ha-yoso, ha-yoso kodem ha-yoso. He's going to... Because the adult is going to start thinking, oh my God, I know what it's going to feel like afterwards, or I can only imagine what it's going to feel like afterwards. I don't want to do it. As opposed to a baby, you know, what does he know?
No, actually, baby.
Exactly. Vashlishis Shakatan Yavozulo Yoloda Ve'esleta So. He says, this is very interesting. Now he's getting into psychology. He says, the child, the newborn, his parents, Yavozulo Ve'esleta So. Shelo Ischazka Dain Atsura Dimyonis Hamiviela Hovoso. In other words, they don't really know him. He's a new baby. He's only been around for a couple days. Right? So they say, you know what? We do a bris because that's what we do and it's not a problem. He says, but imagine. And he says, because that connection, that feeling that you have, grows with time. And it gets bigger as the child grows bigger. The love that parents have for their baby, yeah, they love him. But they don't even know him yet. He's new. When he's a year old, it's totally different. You ask some—I mean, there are some people who you know, they start off with their baby, and the baby keeps them up all night, and even though they're not really complaining, they say, "Oh, the baby keeps me up all the time." You know? A year later, you ask them the same question. You know, the feeling that they have for their child after a year is completely different. The love has been shenal, kav has been sheish, and the love that you have for a 1-year-old is not like you have for a 6-year-old. Ve'ilu hunach shnasayim shalosh, and had the baby been left, to use a modern term, intact for 2 or 3 years, because the father has compassion over him, he's going to say, "Oh, my kid's 2, 3. Oh, I can't do it to him. How am I going to? You know, how can I do that to my kid? How can I subject him to such pain?" Okay. That type of feeling is not as strong. It's a little weaker. Certainly for a father who's commanded at this stage, just take care of it now, do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. It's a mitzvah. No problem. It's done. and then it's done. What's done is done. I had this.
It almost seems that the Rambam was saying that if they would be the earliest point, then that it could be anything after that. Not that
it could be, but why? Why wait? Unless the baby's ill, but in other words, he's talking philosophically now. He's not talking halachically.
Right.
Okay. There's a movie which came out a couple years ago, a documentary. It's called Partly Private. It's about this woman, this Israeli woman living in New York, who is not religious at all, and her husband comes from a traditional family, but also not religious. And it's about her journey trying to figure out whether or not she actually wants to circumcise her son. Her first child, she didn't know if it was a boy, so she did minimal research. Then it was a boy. They had a circumcision. They weren't very pleased with different things. So the documentary is about her journey trying to figure out what it is about circumcision. So she goes all around the world. Literally, she goes to England. She goes to India. She goes to India. She goes to Turkey. Whatever it is. Yeah, she made this documentary. Anyway, when she's in Turkey, she goes to this ceremony that people have. It's a Muslim country. Okay, at age between six and nine, I think it is, that they have this thing. And it's a big deal, and they have all these kids, and they have these big six-year-olds that put on nice clothes, and they have these little, mini roller coaster inside the building, and they're parading these kids around, and they're like, yeah, and some of them are really gung-ho, like, you know, they've really been psyched up for it. And then they do it in public, and especially all the women and all the girls are watching, and all these kids are like, sure, you know, they drop their pants, and they do it up, and they do the whole circumcision. There was one kid that day who didn't want to do it, and he's crying and he's freaking out, and they basically pin him down, and they do it, and you know, all the men around afterwards are like saying, "Come on, kid, give us a thumbs up." The kid goes, and he has this look on his face like, "I'm really mad that this happened to me." And the woman, she says to the father, Are you cool with, you know, the way it happened? He says, yeah, I'm cool with it. And she says, well, what would have happened if he hadn't finally agreed to it? He said, but that wouldn't have happened. You know, like with this look on his face, like, no. He doesn't have a choice. You know, but you know, I'm watching this. And I don't know if they pinned him down. I think he finally agreed to it, but you know, it's like a forced confession. Maybe I made that up, that they pinned him down. But it's like a forced confession. Okay, fine, I'll do it. But the point is, the father's saying, no, he doesn't have a choice. This is what we're going to be doing. Whether it's going to take place today, tomorrow. Today, it's just an embarrassment, and we'll beat him up later. But you know, and my point is, using that as an example, that what the Rambam is saying is, take care of him. If you're going to do it, just take care of the kid's baby so that this type of thing doesn't happen. You don't have this fight. Okay, so now we have... So what we've shown before is two different approaches to what the point of bris milah is. We have Tornus Rufus approach, which is kind of... Or at least Rabbi Akiva's approach to Tornus Rufus, which is kind of echoed in the Sefer HaChinuch. And Rambam, who says, on the one hand, it's to weaken the sex drive. Okay, not that sex is a bad thing. But even more so, it's to create this camaraderie and this bond of kinship between the Jewish people, which is unique to their experience, which is supportive of the idea that God is one, based on the agreement which was made between Abraham and God at the time in Bereishis Yitzchayim.
I don't have an issue with that, but it's if that's the purpose, that there's a certain camaraderie, a certain brotherhood, and that it's a sign. If that was the real reason, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be in a covered place. If it's a sign, why do you have a sign? It's a sign to advertise.
But people like the bathhouse.
Let me remind you of the age-old question.
You do it on public anyway. You're advertising, right?
Right.
You're doing
it on public. I'm saying throughout a man's life. I mean, that's the name of the...
Jeff, it's not a question of, hey guys, let's all get together and have a bris party. You know,
no, I understand that.
You know, it's that we all know.
The sign that
that we all know.
Okay,
Jeff. With all due respect, I'm sure you're circumcised and never want to see it. Okay, I'm glad to be in the same club as you. You know, it's fine. Okay, okay?
That's the sign between your mind and your body and your soul. Sign to yourself.
Okay. You know, and like the rabbi who was asked, should I wear my tzitzis out? And his response was, well, bris milah is a bigger mitzvah than tzitzis. Go figure. Right. Anyway. Okay.
I like that.
Right.
It's a good one, right?
Right. I get that.
I need to find something we could use.
Okay, you know, use that one.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
Anyway. Okay. So now we get to the Mishnah and the Gemara in Nedarim. Okay, the Mishnah and the Gemara in Nedarim. Right? That's good, right?
Yeah, that works.
Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Omer, Me'usa Orla. He says the Orla is
abominable,
disgusting. Shaniskenu Baharishaim, because the evil ones are, how would you say, miskanen? You're kind of like
degraded, denigrated.
Thank you, good word. Degraded. Shenamar Kichal Goyim Arilim, as the Pasuk says, all of the Gentiles are called, essentially, they're called foreskins. Not very nice, but anyway. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael says, Gedola Mila. Mila is great. Shenichrasu Aleh Shloshes Rebritot. Because 13 covenants were forged over it. We're not going to go into the 13 covenants, but there are 13 covenants forged over Bris Mila.
What do you mean? Can you give one? What do you mean there were 13 covenants?
The agreements. I think it's referring to the agreements that God made. But, you know, if you read through the parsha of Bris Mila, you see a bunch of different agreements. Okay? Right. You'll be a great nation. I'll be to your God. You get the land. You have children. And stuff like that. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gedola Mila Shadochas the Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says that Mila is great because it pushes aside Shabbos. Hachamura. Shabbos is very strict rules. Nonetheless, it's pushed aside. I'm going to show you something cool in a minute with regard to that one. Rabbi Shuv and Kach Omer, Gedola Mila Shalom Mitla Lola Moshe. Oh, I didn't put that in bold. I'm sorry. Gedola Mila Shalom Mitla Lola Moshe Atzadik Alea Malei Shah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, like Jeff was talking about, Jeff was not talking about before, that when Moshe's son was not circumcised, Moshe's life, no matter who he was and what he had just been sent to do, was basically endangered because he had delayed the circumcision of his son. It pushes aside the plagues. That refers to the tzara'as, that if there, normally there's a lotas, say you're not allowed to excise tzara'as from a person's body, but if there's a mark of tzara'as on the foreskin and the child needs to be circumcised, you're allowed to cut off the tzara'as, which means that Mila pushes that isur, that prohibition aside.
That shows about Moshe getting threatened with death. It shows how important it is not to wait unless there's a physical.
Right, but the point is that Mila is so important that even the
Moshe was planning on doing it. He was just going to do it later.
Fine.
So they were ready to give him the death penalty for just waiting.
Exactly. The point is that it didn't matter who he was. This is Moshe who's supposed to redeem the Jewish people. Nonetheless, even he could have lost his life over it.
I understand that. I got that part. But there's also that it's that he could have lost his life just for delaying.
Okay. Fine.
So there's some huge importance of has to be done on the eighth day unless it's a first.
Right. So that's an additional point to be learned from it. No, to be learned from it. You're right. Rabbi Omer Gedola Mila Shekol Mitzvah Shasar Avraham Avinu Lo Nikra Shalem Ad Shemal. All the mitzvos, all the commandments that Avraham fulfilled, he was not considered complete until he was circumcised. Shneimar Yisalech Lefanai Vayitamim. Davar Acher Gedola Mila Sheel Malei Hi Lo Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Esolamo. Without Mila, God would not have, were it not for Mila, God would not have created the world. One more, look at the next line. In the Midrash Yilam Deinu, who says, Gdola Mila Shenishba Kadosh Baruch Hu Avram Shekol Mishu Mahul Inu Yar LeGehenim. God swore to Avram that anybody who is circumcised will not go to purgatory. Turn the page. The Mishnah there continues later on with the Gemara, and the Gemara says, here, there are a few more, you know, we'll just read through it in the English, that they were all, Moshe was in trouble over it, and say because of it, Avram was not called perfect. Now they use the word tamim, as opposed to shalem, which was used before, until he had it. Mila has the same value as all the commandments in the Torah, and if not for it, the heavens and earth would not exist, which is different than the world would not exist, as we saw in the Mishnah. So this is either a repeat or a commentary or something else from the Mishnah, but it's based on quoting a Brisa, which was obviously not the Mishnah. Okay, so now we said before that Mila is great because it pushes aside Shabbos. So this is one of my fun sources to show to Kola guys. Not that I've ever met a Kola guy since I found the source, but it's a good one. And that is Chaviva Hi Melacha. So this Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer has a list of a number of different things, a number of different reasons why work, labor, is considered good, considered important. Okay, the first one. Shari Kolpriya Shabar Kadosh Baruch Hu Bo'olamo Lo Masar Lahem Melacha. All the creations, creatures that God made in His world, He didn't give them work to do. Ela L'bnei Adam B'vad. And the Midrash says, have you ever seen a lion who's a farmer? Have you ever seen a cow that's a coal miner? I mean, you know, you don't. That doesn't exist. However, Ubnei Adam ate misparnas and element, but not, somehow what? Okay, but who's controlling him? Okay, so he says Ubnei Adam ate misparnas and element amalacha, but people do not. They can't survive unless they do labor, unless they work. It's not that they're less than the animals, because creative work, creative labor is beloved. And there are a few other examples which are given here. And then after this, the same source says, look at the third to last line in the box, I've just described you six reasons why malacha is important, why malacha is great. But guess what Shabbos does? Shabbos says, hey, by the way, no malacha. No malacha today. Mm-hmm. That's why Shabbos is so special and why Shabbos is so important. And the Mishnah continues to give another 15, 20 reasons why Shabbos is great. But comes Bris Milah and we say, Shabbos is great because it trumps malacha. Milah is great because it trumps Shabbos. Amazing.
What does that mean?
You trump Shabbos? You can carry in other words, you do what you need to do. The Mishnah says, Milah b'Shabbos. You do whatever you need to do in order to do a bris on Shabbos. Yeah. Normally, you'd say, you don't cause a wound.
Yeah.
You don't. You certainly. You know, you don't carry stuff if you need to.
If you can carry the knife.
If need be. Yeah. No, meaning if you didn't. No, you should make arrangements before. Saying if you didn't, or if somebody comes in and says, hey, I just walked here, you know, from 10 miles away because my son needs a bris today. Can somebody please help me? So the answer is, yeah, we're going to go and going to help you. You need a bris. We're not going to drive.
You couldn't drive?
No. Because you don't, called Sarchei Mila, you don't need to drive. You can walk. But you can't do a bris with your teeth. You know? Okay. Think about that image. Okay.
If you walk 10 miles, you can walk another half a mile over to your house.
That's true. That's a good point. Why didn't he bring his baby? Okay. Maybe he wasn't sure I'd be home. That's why. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Couldn't find the house.
Yes. Okay, take a look at the next one. The one to the left, the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'simcha kigon mila. Skip to the next line, to the end of the next line. Adayin osin osa b'simcha. Any mitzvah which the Jewish people accepted upon themselves with joy, they still continue to do with joy. V'chol mitzvah shekiblu aleihem b'ktata. And any mitzvah which the Jews accepted upon themselves, but they fought about it. In other words, not so happy about it. Kigon arayos, like the prohibitions against immoral sexuality, tichsev, etc. He quotes the pasuk. Adayin osin osa b'ktata. They still do it with. Now you think about it. People say, "Yeah, sure, I'll do a bris. Absolutely, we have joy." What do you mean? I can't sleep around. It bothers me. I'm not going to do it. But come on. You know, I'm a man.
Example of us be the extra week in needle. There's a lot of talk about that. The extra week in the needle.
Oh yes. For example, that's a good example. Even though that's not.
Well, that's not.
That's a
halacha. Yeah, that's
right. Okay.
Well, halacha.
No, look at that. Skip to the end. Skip to the third to last line. Kol mitzvah. Shemasri Yisrael Asman Aliham Lamisa B'Shas Gzeres Amalchus. Any mitzvah that Jewish people gave themselves up in a time when people were killing them because they were doing it. Kigon Avodas Kachavim Umila Adayin Hu'i Muchzekas Biyadam. Right? People didn't want to bow to idols. People didn't want to give up circumcision, and those were of the first things that they were challenged against. So they're still doing it, and it's true. You look around in the greater Jewish communities. I mean, nobody worships idols, and every, you know, ask any, even the most reformed rabbi will tell you that will say, sure, we'll accept you as a Jew, but if you believe in Jesus, we're not accepting you as a Jew. No matter what you're not accepting as a Jew. You know, you don't believe in God? Okay, we don't have a big problem with that. You believe in Jesus? Sorry. Even the most reformed. And bris? It's the most widely practiced, other than the Seder, it's the most widely practiced thing in
Jewish. Even non-religious people will have a bris.
Absolutely. Who will? I'm saying who will or who won't?
They do?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
According to halacha,
more people have bris.
Absolutely, there's a whole reform. There's a whole reform bris mila board. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, it depends who does the bris for them.
You just said there's a reform mila board.
Board. Yeah.
In a hospital bris, is that what you mean? Like a hospital?
No, no, no. They have a ceremony.
No, no, no.
They say a ceremony.
I've done a bunch of them.
They go to the rabbi school with the rabbi.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are some. There are some.
That's the point.
Yeah, they're still doing it. That's the point.
What's that? What's that? No, there's things they don't do. A lot of. Not just. Yeah, they do
with
that, a lot of them just skip it.
No, sir. No, there are those who skip it.
Mm-hmm.
That's relatively new.
In America?
New.
What?
In America?
That's relatively new.
Other countries, because they were oppressed.
But there are...
There are.
But they're really few and far between. Most people do it. I would say.
What's the,
it's funny. There is a reform board, and all the reform wilds have to be physicians. That's the rule. But they'll do a bris on the eighth day. They'll do some type of ceremony. How they do a bris? What I consider it a bris kahalacha. I don't know. I mean, look, if they're saying a bracha, and if the person is Jewish and they have a mind to do a bris, so in the worst case scenario, you know, the kid would need a tafas dan bris. But in all likelihood, you know, maybe not. But if it's done in a hospital before the eighth day, then the child definitely needs another tafas dan bris. Okay, just a couple more things. We're not going to get through all this because, in the interest of time, but take a look at this midrash Hanel on Parshas Bereishis. Okay, so the first paragraph talks about how there are five times where the word bris is used in the Torah, five things over which a covenant was forged. Mm-hmm. The first one is bris. The first one is actually the rainbow.
Right.
Okay, but then there's bris milah. But take a look at the second paragraph. Bekodem shenitnu ahei britot, before these five covenants were made, lo haisa bris ela ba'ish. The bris was only made with fire. What does that mean? Shenamar v'hinei tanur ashan v'lapid eish, as it says, there is an oven of smoke and a pillar of fire. Okay, uksiv bayom hahu karas Hashem es Avram bris limor, and it says that on that day, God forged a covenant with Avram. What's that referring to? V'ha'esh haisa bris betchila, and the esh that it's referring to over there is referring to the original bris. V'zehu bereishis. This is the word bereishis. Hotzei misham esh. Take out the word esh from the word bereishis. Minishar bris, klamar bris ish. To tell you that brishes, the first word of the Torah, refers to a covenant of fire. So what? Cool. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Rabbi Yochanan Amar bris krusa karasa kadosh baruch hu ma'olam. God forged a covenant with the world. Yamanasha yamod Avraham. The covenant that was made with the world was so that Avraham will come into being. Biskayem ha'olam bischuso, and that the world will exist in Avram's merit. Shnemar Eila Toldos Hashemayim Va'aretz Behi Baram. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Behi Baram. Flick around a couple letters. Be'Avraham. Behi Baram refers to Be'Avraham, in other words, in the merit of Avraham. Yosa Sha'a, in that hour, Shekarasi Mo'abris Ba'esh, when God made that covenant with fire, Amara Olam Be'Kiyumo, the world stood to exist. V'zehu b'reishis, b'ris eish, and that's the beginning, which is the covenant of fire. Bara Elokim v'sashamayim v'sa'aretz. God, at the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. K'deisha ya'amod osa b'ris eish, in order that the covenant with the fire will exist. And how will it exist? Bihi baram, through the existence of be'Avraham.
That's nice.
Okay, there are other things here. The next one, for example, talks about the Ksav HaKabbalah on Bereishis Yud Zayin. He says that the mitzvah isn't completed at the what we call the bris. That's just the beginning. The mitzvah of bris is in teaching your child everything about your life, everything about what we've talked about, everything about what the existence of the bris in our flesh is all about. You start on day 8. And he says here, you look at the line above. That's the key point. That God should be for us that, you know, that God will be our God, and that is forged through the covenant of circumcision. Last thing. We'll look at the last two things down here. Kli Yakar, V'ata Espresi Tishmor, and you should guard my covenant. Mahu V'ata Umahu Shechazar V'Amar V'ata V'Zaracha. It says, what is, and you should go, and the, you know, who's the and you should watch over the covenant, and what is it that when he repeated and said Ata V'Zaracha, you know, you and your children. So he says, Kach Perusho. This is the explanation. Sheikur Ikar Hatsivui, the main point of the commandment, Hayaba Avur Zaro, is for his children. It's not about what Abraham does. Why? Ki Heim Tzrichin Lamila Chitzonis. They're the ones who need this external mark in their body. Zo Kadesha Al Yada Yagiu Elamila Haprimis Vitara Salev, so that they can get to the internal circumcision, so to speak, the internal covenant, and to purify the heart. In the Tanakh, there are different things which are talked about as being uncircumcised. Moshe has uncircumcised lips, aral sfasayim. Yirmiyahu talks about aralas lev. You have to remove the the foreskin of the heart. What does it mean, the foreskin of the heart? The foreskin of the heart is the coating which is impenetrable. It says, don't get to my heart. I don't want to be moved. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be inspired. You have to remove that orla, and he says what the orla, what the external removal of the orla does, is it reminds a person that you have an internal orla that you need to get rid of. Obviously, it's not referring to a physical coating, but it's an emotional coating. It's a non-physical coating. Avalata, but you, Avram, sheyeshcha lev tahar kvar, you already have the holiest heart. Lo yat tzarich lemila so mitzad atzmo, he didn't need the mila himself. He was already the closest thing to God. But he needed it in order for the preservation of the world. Because remember, according to the mission in Avos, and according to other explanations of who Avram was, what Avram did was the opposite of what Noach did. Noach was 10 generations from Adam, and the world was destroyed and saved through Noach. Abraham was 10 generations from Noach, and people were doing the same thing that they were doing in Noach's time. But what Avram did was, instead of having the world destroyed and it recreated through him, is he basically saved the world. He allowed the world to exist on its own merits because of the amazing person that he was, and because of the fact that he reached out to people. Noach was a hermit in a sense, and he didn't do anything. Which is not to say whether or not Noach was bad or good. I'm not going to get into that discussion. That's last week's parsha. But that Avraham's merit is so special, so unique. Now, if you ask anybody, who's the greatest Jew of all time? What's the answer? It's not Moshe. Moshe's the greatest prophet. Moshe's the greatest anav, the most humble. The greatest Jew, though, is Abraham.
Then you have to say he wasn't Jewish.
Abraham is a Yaakov.
No, Abraham. Abraham is above everyone else. Absolutely. And the point that the Kli Yakar is saying is just that Avram's own bris wasn't for his sake; it was for the world, is for his descendants. Now, true, without it, he's not considered shalem, he's not considered tamim, he's not considered complete or perfect or whatnot. But perhaps Yitzchak can't be born, so maybe he does need it. But for the sake of changing his own heart, he didn't need it. The last thing here is, I just brought a comment from the Avnei Nezer. Some feminists. Some feminists, and especially people who are not of the Orthodox ilk, will say, "No, how come women don't get a circumcision?" So the answer is kind of obvious. But having said that, and I have a thought that women who at least get married share in the bris, so to speak, and you can figure that one out for yourself. But he says, though, that if a woman were to have an orla, it's not that she's excluded. It's not that she's not allowed to have a circumcision. It's just that she physically can't have one because she's missing a certain piece of anatomy, obviously. But if there were an orla of some kind, if there were a foreskin, he said, look at the last line, Achladavar, the Isha im hayaba orla haysamachu yevis lahasiro. She would have to remove it. It's not that women are excluded from it, it's just that they physically can't have the mark.
I just kind of attribute the fact that on a higher spiritual level to begin with.
But that's fine. And perhaps that's why they're not created with that you know, anatomy, but and they don't need it. That they should become one flesh. What does it mean to become one flesh? And how do they become one flesh? Don't answer that. But obviously through a contact with Bris Mila, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So I hope that we've answered some questions regarding the significance of bris milah. It's, I'm not going to review it.
By extension, a woman who's not been born yet could already have her first mitzvah, because eventually she's going to marry someone who already had bris.